So for additional information, this table right here shows vehicle miles traveled in the area. So there is an increase from build to no build for each of these links, but it's small. And in the table above, you can see the percent diesel. It's all 3.05% or lower. Does anyone have any questions about that? I know some of you are seeing this for the first time, so you need some time to absorb it.
This is Morgan with DEQ. Would it be possible to just have this sent or linked, or was it already? Did I miss that?
I will send that right now.
Thank you. I just, I'm new in the space, so I just want to get a good grounding. Thank you.
Okay.
This is Adam Clark at EPA Region 10. I thought there was one thing that might be helpful in the first response. It talks about basically how the comparison between Foothills and OR 62 is such that that was basically used to determine that there wouldn't be, or that seemed to be a big justification for determining that there wouldn't be a significant increase in diesel, that in the weight restrictions. Could you add a comparison of the OR 62 versus Foothill diesel numbers and the projections for OR 62? I think I heard somebody say that that Foothills was something like 1% or around 1% of the total diesel for OR 62. But I just thought in going through this that could be a useful piece of information since it's kind of relied upon for that response.
Okay. We will get that put together and sent out.
Great, thank you.
So this location is or is not a freight route?
I think, go ahead.
Foothill Road is a freight route.
It is a freight route, okay.
Yes.
And they're the traffic counts. So maybe I can send this out to everyone, and Carl, we can move on to your part of the meeting and come back to the discussion after.
Sure. So basically, let me get my share going here again. Where is it? There it is. Just bring up the agenda again. So I wanted to make sure we had this discussion about the model, and that's why I asked T-Pow to be on the line with us to explain what happened. And Jen and Alex, I'm going to summarize. I don't think I'll get it wrong, but if I do, feel free to jump in. While we were developing the current RTP, we were using a model called Geminar version 4.2. Subsequent to the adoption of that RTP and therefore that model, the platform upon which that model was based, which is ME2, was upgraded, which automatically upgraded the model from 4.2 to 4.3. And every analysis that has been done since the adoption of that model, of that RTP, has in fact utilized version 4.3. So I think I know the answer to this question, but Jen or Alex, please, if you would, is it possible to run 4.2 anymore, or are we now stuck with version 4.3?
Maybe I should address that. I give a simple example, like I was using Word 2010, that's probably version 7 or some time ago. Now we have Word 2020, probably version 10 already. But the input of the Word file is just still the same Word file, like the modeling, 4.2 we're using for that last RDP update, adopted actually by the console. It's actually the same input comes out that. However, because during that time to now, the software we're using is called ME, used to be 3.0, if I cannot remember exactly, Alex probably can jump in. Now it's become 4.0. So we have to, because the software got bumped up, we have to bump this version just by 0.1, like from 4.2 to 4.3. However, during that bump, we did check if the results change or anything, because the input and the model structure and everything else did not change, and the traffic eventually did not change at all. When they bump up the versions from ME software, it's because they add some other elements, but those elements are not related to our modeling or using. So it's not affecting the results. However, we have to call this 4.3 because we are based on different ME software, different versions. So if you are talking about going back to the old version of ME, I don't know if our house still maintains the 3.5 versions of ME or not. That's my answer. Maybe it's too long because Alex maintains most of the software. He probably can, he's been with TPOW a lot longer, so maybe he can jump in about this.
Well, what I just wanted to make sure of, this is Carl Elsenbach again, is that FTA, FHWA, and US EPA understands what we're doing, because if I understand conformity correctly, we are required to use the model that was used to develop the plan. And so we got caught in a bit of an update that was not anticipated for us. And I just want to make sure it's okay for us to use the model 4.3 transportation model, because we don't have 4.2 anymore. And I just wanted to make sure you guys are comfortable with our approach to this. So I'm looking to Rachel or Ned and or Adam to weigh in on this.
Carl, this is Tom Carlson. While you're waiting for that weigh in, I'll just add that we did a comparison of outputs that Jen prepared using this 4.3 version for the base year network 2017 to what he had run when we did the last regional conformity analysis for the original RTP in late 2016. And the VMP numbers compare exactly. So I think, as Jen alluded to, even though there might have been some other structural and minor changes as it relates to the output that we use that plugs into the conformity analysis, I don't think there's any real material difference between the two versions of the model.
That's good confirmation, actually, Tom. Because 2017 is exactly the same, we did not add the project at all. This Foothill project is not built in the 2017 base year, because the base year is already passed. So we have the same identical results based on 4.2 and 4.3.
That spreadsheet that I sent you and Carl, if anybody else in particular, Adam, Rachel, and Ben want to look at that, you could probably circulate that to them. That shows what I just described.
I hope that I explained clearly about this. If a Word file, no matter what version you're using to open it, it's still a Word file. Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. The model was built based on the input and the structure. If we don't change the input and the structure and using the different version of software to open it, it's still, or run it, it still come out the same output. this is a little tricky for us. We have to update to the version to 4.3 because it's based on a newer version of software.
Right. No, I do understand that, Jenna. I appreciate it. And thank you, Tom, for weighing in on that. I just want to make sure our federal colleagues are comfortable with this because, again, my understanding of conformity is we are required to use the exact same model that we did to develop the plan itself. So technically speaking, this is the exact same model. It's just been improved. Are we good to go to use this model for our analysis, our regional analysis? That's the question I have. If need be, I can put it in email. But I'd just like to get a feeling from FHWA, FTA, and US EPA as to where we stand on this.
This is Rachel with Federal Highway. I do not have concerns with that.
Cool.
Yeah, Adam Clark at EPA. I agree with Rachel.
Good. See, that's what I was hoping.
Carl, this is Ben. I'll weigh in. I think an email with the description of the differences and the reasoning that you need to upgrade to the 4.3 version would be a good thing to have on file.
Fair enough. I will write an email. I'll bounce it off of Greg and Jen, not Greg, off of Alex and Jen, make sure I've got my terminology correct, and then I'll send it out to the group.
And Carl, you can use the 2017 comparisons in that spreadsheet that I sent to you and Jen to confirm that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thanks, Carl.
Sure enough. Okay, so that moves us on to the second bullet under this section, which are the inputs for the MOVES model. And we brought Tom's firm on to help us out with this, and he provided me with a table and the scope of work. I sent that out to everybody. It's table one, pre-analysis MOVES modeling inputs for amended RTP, and it should say RTP, conformity analysis. Tom, do you just want to take a moment and run through this? And if I remember correctly, this is pretty much the same input table that we used when we developed the RTP.
That's right. And I'll try and take a 35,000-foot summary, and then we can go through particular elements as needed by anyone. As Carl alluded to, and apologies for the title typo, PTP, I basically lifted this table from what was the final MOVES inputs table that was prepared for the original RTP 4 years ago. And then if the version that Carl forwarded to you has highlighting for some of the rows, the highlighting reflects really where we're proposing to make what are nominal changes to the MOVES inputs to account for the changes on a regional basis to the network from this Foothills project. And those are the fleet VNT by HPMS type, and as I had alluded to earlier, from runs that Jen has already prepared, we've done some comparisons between VNT from the original RTP projections in 2027, 37, and 2042, and found that in those first 2 years, 27 and 37, the numbers are basically in the roundoff error range. And in 2042, it appears that because of other projects that are going in on a regional basis, there's some synergies with the Foothills project that ends up producing about a 0.2% reduction in BMT relative to what I'll call no build here or the original RTP 2042. Projected network. And then the other places that we're having to make revisions to the MOVES inputs relative to the original conformity analysis would be other places where VNT goes into the MOVES model, the road type distributions, and then the vehicle speed distributions toward the bottom of the table. Again, as a comment on the right notes, the speed distributions are based on travel time, not mileage. And then there should have been a shaded row at the bottom of the table, the ramp fractions are also nominally updating because we're using local data for that rather than default. But other than those four areas, we're proposing to utilize the same inputs that were run in the moves portion of the regional emissions analysis for the original conformity determination. So I'll stop there and see if there are questions, comments, concerns.
So Rachel or Adam or Ben or who else we got? We got Ned. Any issues with this? This was sent out with the agenda last week, so you have had it at least for a week. Hopefully you had a chance to look at it. Are we copacetic with this selection?
I don't have any questions or concerns about this. This is Rachel.
Okay, thank you. Adam?
Yeah, same here. Everything looks in line and to make sense to me as well.
Glad to hear that. Thank you very much. So that leaves just the model years. When we did the actual RTP, we had four different scenarios, 2017, 2027, 2037, and then 2038. Now we have in 2038 and 2042, Jen, or 2027?
Sorry, it's actually 2042. 2038 is the city of Medford had the TSP.
That's right, that was
20-year
plan. So it's 2027, 2037, and 2042. I just assume we're not running a 2017 because we're in 2020 right now. So that
exactly right.
A bit irrelevant. Other than not using 2017, we're using the same horizon and projection years as we used in the RTP itself. So here again, I'm assuming that this is okay with everybody. Does anybody, particularly FHWA, FTA, or US EPA, have any issues with us using these scenario years?
This is Rachel. I do not. That makes sense.
Okay. See, I didn't think my section would go. I'm sorry, who was that?
Carl, this is Ben. I want to make a couple points. The first is I actually did not receive the agenda for this until today it got forwarded. So I haven't had a chance to review this. I don't necessarily have an issue with it, but I think maybe Justin Shoemaker and I need to have some discussion about it and make sure it lines in with the grant requirements.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hi, Carl. I would just like to add about this 2042. Because the modeling, people may ask questions, how come your 2042 significantly has more impact on the VMT reduction, but not 2037, 2027? You know, because the Foothill Road is parallel to the freeway I-5. The modeling process is a capacity constraint. You know, if I-5 in the long term get more capacity constrained, the traffic more shifting to the Foothill Road. So the VMT reduction will show more significant by that time, compared with build and no build. So I just want to give a little bit, in case people ask the question, wondering about that.
What, can you say that again? Because I was wondering.
Okay.
I was wondering
It's kind of going back to the nifty gritty of details of modeling, and travel demand modeling was currently based on the capacity, the roadway capacity constraint. Like your freeway can currently hold maybe like 3,000 on the I-5. But in the future, there's a jump, maybe 2037 to 2042. There's a significant jump on the freeway. So those traffic, because they're parallel to the Foothill Road, they're shifting more traffic to Foothill Road in the future. So that may interpret into more VMT reduction compared with build or no build. If you don't build Foothill Road, it's more congestion on the freeway and also to locals too. So it's going to get more VMT increase.
Okay, Thank you, Jim. That makes sense.
It's kind of theoretical, but in reality, that's what happens. In the long term, you know, the foothold road may be more beneficial to the region in terms of your, you know, VMT reduction. That's how the model shows, according to Tom's study too.
Thank you, that makes sense.
Thank you.
Okay, and Ben, I will make sure I get this out to you, but you raised a point that, well, I wasn't even aware there was an issue with. How would this, I guess, violate the terms of the grant agreement?
Well, not a violate question. It's more a matter of how it lines in with the performance measures that are included in the grant.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll make sure you and Justin get that.
Thank you.
And I do have one. I do have a question, Carl. This is Rachel again. And I think maybe we talked about this on one of our last calls, and I just can't recall. So we're talking about the foothills portion, and the build grant is much larger than just foothills. Is that correct? What did we determine on?
So right. The actual build grant incorporates portions of of two existing projects. One was City of Medford, one was county project. So it actually swallows both those projects up. And what the city has been doing to keep pace with the build grant without violating the rules of conformity is they've been focusing on those two projects that were already in the TIP and now are part of the build grant. The rest of the build grant is the additional improvements. They've extended it from instead of McAndrews to Delta Waters, it's now Hillcrest to Delta Waters. That's another almost 2 miles of road. I think it's 1.7 miles. And in addition to that is that small segment, 0.2 mile, of a brand new road at the very southern end of this project. And that brand new road is the same alignment as would exist if there was a South Stage overpass road. Have I got that right, Carl?
Mostly, Carl, one clarification. The existing city project was Hillcrest to McAndrews, and the new portion for the build is between McAndrews and Delta Waters.
Sorry, got it backwards.
Yep. But yes, I think everything else sounds right.
So, and Rachel, what you're remembering is we were talking about the conformity analysis for the 21-24 TIP and whether or not we had to, you know, do the model run and everything. And your concern was whether we were actually doing the build project in that TIP. And the answer is no. What they are doing are the segments of that build project that were already in the TIP.
And so this regional emissions analysis that we're looking at now includes the new portion as well.
Exactly, includes all the upgrades that will be in the build project, and that's why we have to do a regional conformity analysis.
Okay, thank you so much. This build project and all the pieces, it's confusing to me since I don't work with it every day, so thank you.
Sure enough. So with that, my section's done. Natalie, I'm going to punt it back to you now.
Thank you, Carl. Let me present again. Okay, so I guess I would like to know, based on what you've heard today about the answers to questions 1, 2, 3, or 5 on the PM10, analysis. If you have any questions right away, you can look into. Let me put the volumes back up. So here's the ADTs for each of the sections along foothills.
I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a Zoom screen.
Oh.
Yeah, me too.
I thought I need to update my Zoom to be able to see.
There.
Okay.
She faked us all out.
Okay. So here are the ADT volumes, no build to build. And then year 2027, and then there's year 2038. And this shows the percent diesel for the no build and then for the build.
And Natalie, if I could jump in here, and this is going to probably add to the confusion, please.
No, don't do it.
I'm trying to explain why we have all these different years. So the reason, and again, Carl and Jen, you might weigh in. I thought we had corrected this, but 2038 is the year that the TSP expires. Is that not correct, that the transportation systems plan for the city of Medford?
That's correct.
Which is why they use 2038 instead of 2037 or 2042. So for the actual analysis of the project itself, they're using the horizon year of the transportation systems plan as adopted by the city of Medford, which is 2038. When we do the regional analysis, we will do the horizon year 2042, which is the horizon year of the RTP, the current RTP.
Thank you for clarifying that, Carl.
Sure enough. Back to you, Natalie.
Okay. So I guess the traffic volumes are relatively low. I know that Carl Pepple doesn't like to use the number, but in the PM10 guidance, the traffic volumes that are a level of concern are when it's around 125,000 vehicles and the vehicle have the percent diesel at around 8% of that 125,000 vehicles. So this project, even though it is a truck route, the traffic volumes, if we look at year 2038, the highest link is Lone Pine to McAndrews with 9,000 vehicles. So that's a really small volume compared to 125,000. And then the actual number of diesel vehicles that this study is showing is the highest one is 421. And then when we look at the level of service, the intersection that has a level of service of F is a two-way stop, and it's the issue is on the minor road and not on foothills.
Natalie, this is Rachel. For looking at these five categories, you know, to determine if it's of air quality concern, I think the important things for like one and two, mainly two, are that the clear documentation that those levels of service are not because of the increased diesel traffic. And So is that what ODOT believes?
Yes.
Is happening here? Okay. So that, let me take a quick look real quick. I think if we can have that documented in here and showing if this interagency consultation group does believe that, that having that clear documentation in there that the group agreed that that level of service is not because of, like, directly related to the increase in, to an increase in diesel vehicles.
Yeah, I agree that that would be useful just to add in.
So can the city of Medford again confirm that that level of service of F is not related to an increase of diesel vehicles?
Or a significant increase.
Isn't it just because of the overall increase in traffic on Foothills, not just the type of traffic, it's just an overall increase in traffic. Isn't that why it goes to F? It's going to take longer to get out of that intersection if you're on Delta Waters.
Yeah, I agree. This is Christina, City of Medford. I would totally agree with how Carla explained that.
For those of you unfamiliar with the area, it's a T intersection. Delta Waters is the minor road, and Foothills forms the top of the T. And there is it's just a stop sign, but apparently the increase in traffic is insufficient. I'm assuming under the, I was going to say UCMJ, but it's not. It's the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. I'm assuming that the warrants just aren't there for an actual signal.
Yeah, correct. Not at this time.
Thanks.
Are there additional clarifications that I can include in the documentation?
The 0.5% increase in the response to number one, is that due to the weight restrictions coming off, or is that due to, I think that Christina may have said something about like other areas around Foothill or other roads around there being built out that might see an increase. But can you explain like what, where the 0.5 comes from?
Yeah, that Christina, City of Medford. So we looked at Highway 62, which is a comparable route here in town. It's one of the higher volume routes, connects up north at that roundabout that we've discussed here in this meeting. So it's an alternate route in a way. It would take you, go I-5 through town using that, and that's the existing. So in trying to determine, you know, where our, how our truck percentages compare on Foothill, we reviewed what's existing there on 62 and found that like the percent difference was about 0.7% for these heavy vehicles, you know, compared to between Foothill and 62. So even if we took all of that heavy vehicle traffic onto Foothill, we would only see a 0.72% increase from existing. So that's kind of the half percent is assuming that some of that traffic will move over. It would coincide with the assumption that in 2038, the truck restrictions on the adjacent portions of this route would have also been removed. So, it kind of ties in a few things at once there.
I'm sorry, could you explain that point, the 0.7 number, the correlation between 62 and fail? I just missed it.
Sorry, I don't mean to muddy the water. I guess when I mentioned it earlier, it was just sort of offhand, less than 1%. That less than 1% was the about 0.7. So we found that on Oregon 62, on Highway 62 there, that we on Foothill had about 0.7% less truck traffic than there was on 62. And so they're reasonably comparable routes at the time that Foothill will be built out. So if, you know, at this point, if Foothill gets built out 2038, the truck restrictions go away, it would reasonably carry something similar to 62 in heavy truck traffic percentages. And so with that assumption in mind, we assume it, the 0.5% increase would be seen on Foothill.
Gotcha. So that's the heavy truck traffic percentage increase that's projected on OR62, or that it's comparable to that or pretty close to that. So 0.7 is what is the heavy truck.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, and
I think Natalie will end up following up with some of that backup information. I'll be happy to provide that to help her out, but not together. So I expect you'll see some more detail on that coming up here.
And Christina, also maybe if you have some detail on what that truck restriction is, I'm sorry, I maybe missed your description of what that was that's in place right now on Foothill that would be removed in the 2038 model. Can you just briefly touch on that?
I don't have it at hand. Give me one second.
So where are we? This is Carl.
It's going to take me a minute to find it. Go ahead, Carl.
Oh, no, I was just wondering, where are we on the agenda? Is this the discussion part?
Yes.
Natalie?
Yes, Carl.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
We're on your last bullet, the discussion with the federal agencies to hopefully concur that this project is not a project of a local air quality concern.
And this is Tom. Oh, sorry, Natalie. I was going to buy you some time and add some context if you'd like.
Yes, please.
This won't take long. Just as you, and I have a sense of where you're discussing things, and this isn't specific to project level, which is the focus of what you're all discussing now, but in the regional context, road dust is a much greater contributor on a regional basis in the non-attainment area to overall emissions, you know, when they have to be compared to the SIP budgets for PM, than exhaust and brake and tire wear. So the implications of a diesel vehicle and the criteria for screening about their quality concern, admittedly, with what I'm saying on a regional basis, would potentially be muted by the fact that most of the emissions in the area from motor vehicles are the result of road dust because of the amount of rain and then drying and track on and track off, apparently, that exists there. But just an FYI for you all to be aware of.
All right, so Tom, it's Christina here, just chiming back in about the weight limit.
Thank you.
Okay. Unless there's questions about that there. So as far as the weight limit goes, on the Foothill section, between Cedar, between Delta Waters and Hillcrest, where this project is going to build. The weight restriction has been removed, knowing that we're going to build this new roadway. So immediately north of that, north of Delta Waters, it gets out into the county. There's a few projects there planned. They have different completion dates for different segments, but their current weight restriction is 25 ton for small two axle trucks, and then three plus axles is at 40 tons. So we expect those weight restrictions to be in place until they complete each section of their roadway north of us. So for 2038, they would be gone. Everything would be built out, but still in 2027, there's still some segments in there that are not complete. So it wouldn't theoretically be a fully completed route at that point.
Okay, thank you.
So this is Rachel. I have a follow-up question on that for Christina, or I guess whoever. So is that a pretty known time frame of when the weight restrictions are going to be lifted? Just trying to figure out, like, if they're
yes, if they're and lifted. No.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So I spoke to the county, and I'm probably not the most in the know about their exact timeframes, but pretty recently discussed with them that the one segment immediately north of us will be within that 2027 timeframe. Before 2027, they should be completing about the same time we are for Foothill. But as the sections go further north, I think it's the one that's between it's near Quarry Road there. Anyway, that they don't have a good finish date for that, but they do reasonably expect it to be before 2038.
Okay. And so does, my brain's just trying to think through if that date changed at all, would that impact any of this like data or information or would assumptions that we've just looked at?
I don't think so, only because they don't expect to do it any sooner than 2027. So I guess in theory, yeah, if for some reason that last section came in sooner than they anticipated, that could potentially change that 1 year's assumption about the truck traffic. Again, we're only talking about a 0.5% mm-hmm. increase. But the 2038 would remain either way.
Okay, thank you.
So we in the last bullet now, Natalie, or? Do we have a verbal consensus, or so we know where we're going when we move forward?
I'm sorry, a verbal consensus as to whether or not it's a POAQC?
I guess that's what that means, yeah. I think that's what Natalie's looking for.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I'm looking for if you're ready to make a verbal consensus decision, or if you have any more questions right now, let me know. So we'll start with you, Adam.
Yeah, EPA Region 10 feels good that this isn't a POAQC, given the very, very low diesel numbers. I guess as far as additional information, just that clarification in the memo about how or the interaction between the OR62 numbers and the numbers for Foothill would be the only piece that we would want to see additionally.
Okay, I have that written down. And FHWA, Rachel?
Yep, this is Rachel. Am I unmuted? Yes, I am. I agree with Adam. That additional clarification, I think, would be helpful. And then if this group does determine, like that number two, if you could add in, or even just for all the criteria, if you could add in that the interagency consultation group determined today that that was not a significant increase in diesel traffic.
Okay.
Thank you.
And FTA?
I believe he's still here.
Ned?
Okay, I'm gonna see if he's still.
Did he leave?
I think he's gone.
I don't see him on the list.
Okay. And Morgan, are you the only one here from DEQ?
I am the only one here from DEQ. So yes, I think that clarification on the diesel vehicles would be great. Otherwise, this seems good to me.
Okay. And I guess I'll follow up with Ned. So that ends our discussion. And Carl, if I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you all. Excuse me. Thank you all very much for participating. We came in a half hour under. I figured 2 hours might have been too long, but I just wanted to make sure we didn't get cut off in the middle of the important discussion. So thank you all for participating. This is a Zoom meeting. We have recorded this. I'm going to have my assistant write up basically not really minutes so much as what was discussed, what was asked for, what was agreed to, and I'll get that out to everybody. And I want to make sure I have everybody, well, I've written all the names down. So again, thank you all for participating. And I know I owe an email based on what we discussed. Table, I have to send out an email to Justin and Ben, email to the agencies regarding the model, and I'll include the spreadsheet that Tom sent me on 2017 to everybody. But thanks again. I appreciate your time, and I know we all have other things, for some of us, better things to do.
Hey, Carl, this is Rachel. I have a quick question for you. Is in regards to the next steps for this, are you putting together the air quality conformity documentation that'll be sent out to the group to look at as well, that includes, you know, the whole process and all the documentation for conformity, fiscal constraint?
Yes, I'm in the process of doing that. I won't say I'm in the middle of it yet because I'm also updating RTP, writing two UPWPs. So yes, that is ongoing. I hope to get that out in January to everybody.
January.
This is a big part of that.
Yeah. Okay, so great. Thank you. I'm just looking for the time frame for that. Thanks.
Sure enough.
Sorry, this is Adam. I just missed that. What are what's forthcoming in January?
The documentation for the air quality conformity analysis for the amendment to the RTP.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sure enough. at least a draft version that I'm sure will bounce around a bit.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything else they want to raise, issues they want to discuss, or shall we wrap this up?
I'll just say happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, and be safe.
Absolutely. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you all.